Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and come and join us. We're in the book of Mark, and this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's delivered by Mark. It's all scriptures given by inspiration of God, which in the Greek says it's God breathed. And John Stiganga, one of our gifters that gave us this concordance that is above all for the New Testament, and he used to say to me personally, he'd say, hot off of God's lips. So God is right there. We're mouth to mouth, eye to eye, face to face with God. But it's delivered to us. It came according to Mark, but it's from God. He's maybe like the UPS or the deliverer, the delivery system, but this is directly from God. We just read 1 through 8, and we're going to read now 9 through 11 in the book of Mark. And this is... It already introduced John. Why don't you read 4 through 8 first? We're going to go back up a little bit since this is a new day. We're starting again, but we'll do a little bit of recounting. And it talked about a messenger that is sent before Jesus' face named John the Baptist.
Did we already say who we were?
No, I didn't. I didn't tell people who I
Who am I?
Well, my name is Gilbert. I'm from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, I'm Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah, this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Pat from Port Orchard, Washington.
Now, Andy's known me since 1980, but he doesn't know who I was. He kept saying, who are you? Yeah. You know, we're getting a little older, and sometimes we don't know who the other people are around us. It's all right. Go ahead.
Mark chapter 1, verse 4. John came, who was baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance unto remission of sins. And all the country of Judea went out unto him, and all they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, River Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loin, and was eating locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me cometh one mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not fit to stoop down and unloose. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
And then we're starting today, and we didn't read the scripture 9 through 11 yet. So we're going to continue on this, and let's read this next context, and we're going to introduce to you the thing that Ivan Panin realized was really the theme in Mark. And as soon as we read it, we'll show you which word we're talking about.
It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John into the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being rent and the Spirit as a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.
This was a same picture we saw back in Matthew chapter 3, and Jesus' baptism again, but this is a different angle. And what's the word we are seeing here we haven't seen a whole lot of in Matthew? As a matter of fact, it was a couple of times, but not a lot. What's the word?
You talking about straightway? Straightaway?
Straightaway is the Greek word euthys, and it means immediately. Some good translations just say immediately. And if you're a servant, we talked about being like in a working in a restaurant, they expect service immediately or you're not going to go back there. And everything you do in a restaurant, a servant does, needs to be done immediately. Oh, I'll get you some coffee after it's cold. It doesn't work. And our life in God now is going to be learning the ropes. And so we have to learn servitude.
Something interesting, too, with restaurants is, you know, as a server, you're going to take their appetizer order, you're going to take their entree order, maybe drinks, and maybe later on, dessert. So even in all of that, you do it immediately, but you do it in its order.
And you do, you watch the table, you're working around, you're serving this table over here. You might have four or five tables, depends on how fancy a place and how big the tables are and how many orders. Because if you got a huge table, sometimes one server per table or sometimes two.
Right.
It just depends on the amount of people. So you have to watch and see what the group is you're serving, you know, how many kids there are. You just have to pay attention to these things. You might need to get some crayons out, coloring books to keep the kids entertained a bit.
Sure.
And but you have to watch. And every table is going to be different. And your servitude, your serving is governed as to that table. And then you try to be there right when it's time to pull the dish. You don't want to wait till the guy's eaten half a steak and then you pull it away from him.
Right. You want to get that stuff out of the way in a timely manner, in an orderly manner.
Right. Not while they're eating the last, ready to dip their fork in and eat that last bite.
Leave it all on the table.
Right.
When you're dropping off the check, you want all that stuff off the table. So again, being a servant, you're watching your table. You are doing things in an orderly manner.
Have you ever thought of not preaching the Bible, but serving the Bible? That you're watching the people. You're not watching them like to condemn them. You're not watching them to yell at them or give them a beating or preach at them. You're watching their growth. If you're a server in the Lord, if you're a servant, if you're a waiter, really. But you don't want them to stay in the same place too long, and not have served to them the next, because some things can become stale and people don't grow, and there's something that you need to be able. One thing, this is coming from God through Mark. So this is us as a server. It has to come from God through us. We have to listen to God, but we also have to watch and see what is next for that person. What's the best?
Yeah, I've experienced that because, you know, I was first came in the Lord. It was, you know, being really young, and you're kind of led by the hand in these things, in the way of the Lord, and as I grew, all of a sudden that hand wasn't there for me. You know what I mean? You're looking around and you're like, well, where do I go now? Well, there's something. Well, you know what the basic stuff is, so do those on your own. And so there was a growing process with that, but that process has continued, and it's always been somebody else, somebody older, to help lead me into that. And that's definitely through the Holy Spirit showing me the next area. Okay, well, you're not a year old anymore, Brett. There's some things you got to do now.
Somebody explained that agape love, the highest form of love, which has no emotions, it's the highest form. It's the most pure. It's the closest to doing God is love. It's agape love. And he does not do things out of emotions. He does things because it meets a need. How about love meeting a need? They're hungry, they need food. And they're thirsty, they need something to drink. So the first thing, you get them settled. Well, they need a table. They need to come in. They need to be invited in. All those steps. And they need to feel at home when they come in and sit in a restaurant, don't they?
Yeah.
They need a greeting. They need all those things. And love meets a need.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the table's full of dirty dishes and you haven't served the desserts. It's got to be cleaned off to a point, but not to be noisy and not to be uncareful of them. We need to be careful of them sitting there that they enjoy it. I used to work in a restaurant too. So this is the book of servitude according to Ivan Panin. This word straightway, in other words, immediately is found. We're thinking around 40 times that we've seen so far, but we're going to count them. The Greek word is euthys. And John the Baptist is talked about for just a few verses here. And what did you want to talk about? What did you notice? Andy spent some time teaching about John the Baptist, looking in the different Gospels. But what really strikes you here in Mark about John the Baptist? That you hardly hear about him? It's just a little amount? Or what did you notice?
Compared to Matthew, it gives maybe half the information. But the part that we just read is almost identical to Matthew. This part is almost identical.
So it's like a reminder.
This is a reminder because this, it says in Matthew, I'll read this one again. And Jesus, when baptized, went up straightway from the water. And lo, the heavens were opened, and he saw God's Spirit descending as if a dove coming upon him. And lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. And was baptized of John in the Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being rent, and the Spirit as a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased. Now, those are pretty much saying the same thing. They're very, very, that and the rest, many of the other things that John did and said to Jesus aren't here, but this part is repeated again.
It starts with the first time it's found is immediately coming up out of the water. He didn't leave him under there too long. I mean, you drown if you stay under there too long. But I don't think that's the point. And when they crossed the Red Sea, they were to do it, they were to have their loins girt, and they were to do things. They were not to tarry at that communion meeting. They were to do things. I forget the name of the word. It's found in Exodus chapter 12.
Do it in haste?
Do it in haste. Because this is your new life. This is a brand new life. This is not something la-di-da. By the way, they serve good coffee at la-di-da here in Vancouver. It's laughing. It's latte. D-A-H, I guess. You know, like a latte coffee. But this is a funny play on words. But when it's talking about people's salvation, you might be baptizing them at 2 o'clock in the morning. You might be baptizing 4 o'clock in the morning. And you do that when it's necessary, when they call you. So there's an immediacy to people's salvation that when it's right for them, it's like a baby being born. It's exactly the same
thing.
And
the servants have to be open to that immediacy.
Yes.
I left years ago. 40-some years ago, I left Gilbert's house and did not want to be baptized. I came back there in an hour, and he was standing on his porch at 1 in the morning, and I go, I'm coming back to be baptized. He says, yeah, I know. I said, okay, let's just get this done. I didn't ask him, how do you know I was coming back? He's on his porch, I'm not kidding, with the light on at 1 o'clock in the morning, just standing there. Looking out, it's in May. It's the first part of May, and he's just out looking out around, and here I come driving in. Yeah, I knew you were coming. So he didn't say, oh, no, make an appointment for tomorrow when I can get some sleep. No.
And this is 1980 before cell phones.
Yes. He had no way of knowing I was coming back there except the Lord. So there was no appointment there except God made an appointment.
And it's not telling the person being baptized to make haste. It's telling the person get ready. It's like the nurses and so on. When the birth is going to be, you better be there. The doctor needs to be there.
You were prepared by knowing that I was coming back.
Well, the doctors or nurses or whatever need to be ready.
Yeah.
And the servant is the one it's talking to, that these things are going to happen immediately.
And our friend Ken got baptized that way too. He was at my home, and my wife and I were talking to him, and he wanted to get baptized. So I called another friend of mine up, Bruce, and he came over there at about midnight, drove across town. He got up from his bed, answered the phone, came across town to baptize Ken. So this is something that I've experienced on both sides of it over the years. And I can't tell you one time that I've ever told people we needed to be baptized that people go, well, okay, well, maybe we can do that next week. No, it's not like that in the Lord.
Tell a baby.
You
tell
can't
a baby,
be born now.
You have to wait till tomorrow to come out of the
no,
womb.
No, I'm being born now.
because it's an event determined by God, and you're telling God to wait? So we need to be servants primarily of God to come to this event called this person being born up. You need to be there.
And we have involvement in it, and he calls us to be, it's time to be involved here.
Number one, your immediacy is to serve God, to do it his way. Then the next verses, the next context is 9 through 11. Did we read that one yet?
Yep, we did that one.
Okay. Then 12 through 13.
And straightaway, the Spirit driveth him forth into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and he was with the beast, and the angels were ministering to him.
Now, Jesus was treated, the king, who's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's treated with immediacy, showing he has to learn servitude too. He came and as a servant took on our form to take all of our sins. He did the biggest job of anybody as a servant. He set the goal, that bar, way above what we can do. What Jesus being a servant to us all, to dying, that is, can you do anything greater than what Jesus did? So what we're doing is little things that as a sum total will not even equal what Jesus did, but he wants his children to learn how to serve one another. This is what this book, to serve God primarily, to serve the Lord Jesus, to serve the Holy Spirit, and to serve his family, God's family, your brothers, your sisters. 14 through 15 of Mark chapter 1. Unless somebody has a breakthrough any time.
I was going to ask you, that is that word, and it says... And
I didn't tell you to break through that immediately, though.
don't crack the door, I'll run through.
Don't take that immediately, too. No, go ahead, I was just making a joke.
Well, here it says, and straight away the Spirit drives him forth into the wilderness, and it did not say that in Matthew, but it says here, straight away, so the Holy Spirit is like this. The Holy Spirit is immediate.
So Jesus is showing immediacy, servitude to the Holy Spirit, who is the King of Righteousness.
And so we were talking about what
King of
we
peace.
Would do.
Yeah.
If we are listening to the Holy Spirit, we're going to be that way because that is the way he is.
Yeah. We're going to be dressing while we're on the phone.
He is straight away, yes.
Or fast, anyway.
Yeah, that's all. And after John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, the season is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Now, Jesus is going to start picking up servants who are going to do things immediately. He's going to pick his disciples to whom he's going to teach the servitude. And that's the next context.
That's through verse 20, 16 to 20. And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they left the nets and followed him. And going on a little, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending the nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him.
Well, all of a sudden now the family's growing. It starts with Jesus and the dad, even though it says not to call any man father yet. But we've got dad, and now the first two sons, Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, and then James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And now all of a sudden we have four brothers that are going to have to learn how to get along.
These two guys, they were immediate in doing one thing more than following Jesus.
Yeah.
They immediately left their dad and the servants. So there's things that are going to happen. When God wants you to go somewhere, other things are going to be affected by it.
They left serving their father in a worldly sense.
And started serving Jesus.
But along with Jesus, Jesus is going to be serving people. He's going to be that, like, the head waiter. He's going to serve people and heal them along the way. And this is going to be in training from the best servant ever. They're going to walk with the best servant.
Behold how good and pleasant it is. Die, 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 die. Behold how good and pleasant it is. Die, 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 die. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. Nematom humanaim. Die, 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 die. He name a tov humanaim. Die, 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 die. He name a tov humanaim. Shevet the kingdom yahad. He name a tov humanaim. Shevet a kingdom yakah. Behold how good and pleasant it is. Die, 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 die. Behold how good and pleasant it is. Die, 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 die. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together.
Unity.
Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. For brothers to dwell together. For brothers to dwell together.
Now they're going to have to get along. And there's going to be a couple of instances coming up, whether it's coming up here. One thing I don't have is this memory. I don't know always exactly where it's found, which one of the Gospels. But anyway, because I don't want to spill the beans ahead of time. If it's not in Mark, I don't want to say it yet. Exactly say what it says. But there's going to be some problems in the family that are going to arise.
That could be anywhere, so that's a safe statement. We run into it, we will.
Anyway, we're in Mark chapter 1, 21 through 28 is the next context of Jesus. Remember in Matthew, we walked along with Jesus, and he would go different places. Sometimes, right now, it's just the four of them. They're going along, and straightway is now used four times immediately. And straightway he called them, and they left the father Zebedee in the boat. So one thing is important. When God calls you, do it now. There's immediacy to it. There's a something, seek him while he may be found, call him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. So anyway, they went on into Capernaum, and immediately.
And they go to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath, he entered into the synagogue.
He's going to go into synagogue again.
And taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as having authority and not as the scribes. And straightway there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus Nazarene? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit convulsed him, and crying with a loud voice came out of him. And all were amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this, a new teaching? With authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And the report of him went out straightway everywhere into all region of the Galilee round about.
Did we see a lot of casting out of demons in the book of Matthew? Do you remember that?
I think it didn't talk about it until about the 8th chapter. I looked at that a while ago. That's what I found a while ago. It was about the 8th chapter before they started talking about it, and we're not even 8 context into this book.
We're right on. We're right in. And you know what? If a person has mental problems, and because there's two types of epilepsy. One is actually, it's a physical, electrical thing going on, a medical issue, and another one is actually called, in medical circles, at least it was until it was hidden, demonic epilepsy. And we've known a guy that had demonic epilepsy, and he could not read. He could not read a word. He could not drive a car because of the seizures. And within a year, he's teaching the Greek Bible. His name was Don. I won't tell you his last name. Within a year, the demons were cast out of him. He's teaching the Bible. He's not only reading it, and he could not read. His wife had to sit next to him at the very beginning and say the, and Don would say the. And then he'd learn the next word, the next word. And within a year, he's not only reading, he's teaching and driving a car.
Something that came up too, in Matthew, it says here that the report of him went forth into all Syria, and they brought to him all that were ill, holden with diseases and torments, demoniacs and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So even back there in Matthew, it hints on it.
God did not give them drugs. He just cast out the demons, and he told them in another place, do not enter them again, and they were cleansed. And we're going to continue on, and thank you for joining us. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.